this isn't do or die. This isn't the last opportunity I'm ever going to get. Like, let's just go see how well I can do. Even if it is the one shot that you're going to get, you still have to adopt the mindset of, let's see how well I can do. Welcome to another episode of Success for the Athletic Minded Man. Real talk on harnessing your athletic drive for clarity, consistency, and focus in business and life. This is your host, Jim Harshaw Jr., and today I'm bringing you a solo episode. We're talking about performance under pressure. I'm going to give you 10 tactics for getting into flow and overcoming nerves, self-doubt, any of those little voices inside that might be holding you back. And you might be thinking, well, Jim, I'm not an athlete now. Maybe I was an athlete in high school or college, but now, you know, I'm not an athlete. I just got to show up at work and grind away, and that's supposed to give me the results that I want. That is what I'm going to prove wrong today, right? I'm going to explain to you and help you understand that you are in a performance game. And then I'm going to give you tactics to help you perform at your best every day in every interaction, especially the big ones where the pressure's on. Listen, make no mistake, you are in a performance game. Life is a performance game. How you think determines the success of every outcome. The default thinking that you have determines the words that you say, the body language that you have, and how that interaction goes. It's not just about grinding. It's not just about showing up early, staying late, doing more. That's all required, right? The hard work is required. It is, can I do the hard work with the belief that I can be successful here? With the ability to get out of your own way and get those, the nerves, the self-doubt, the fear of failure, getting those out of the way. Again, in the big interactions, we're going to talk about those, like the sales presentations, the job interviews, the annual review with your boss, whatever those big scenarios are for you. How do you approach those? Well, it doesn't matter if you just show up and do those and go hard, as compared to if you show up and do those and go hard with the right mindset. Listen, I lived this. I worked so hard in wrestling and struggled for years because, man, I worked hard. I was voted my team's hardest worker in college for 3 of my 4 years there, my sophomore, junior, senior year. And I wasn't always getting results though. And it wasn't until I figured out the stuff that I'm sharing with you today that I finally got the results that I had been working towards. And this is the same in business. It's the same in your career. It's the same in every interaction that you go into, right? The goal for you is to get into a peak performance state, not thinking, not your ego getting in the way, not those little voices of doubt and that sort of default wiring that you were brought up with, you know, getting that stuff out of the way so you can perform at your best. And, you know, I interviewed Michael Chandler back in episode number 217 and actually also back in episode number 99. I highly, highly recommend you go back and check out those episodes if you're digging what I'm talking about here, because Michael Chandler, one of the best UFC fighters in the world, and one of the phrases that really stuck with me from our conversation was, he said, I was a small kid from a small town taught to think small. And he's gotten himself to a completely different mindset by doing the work, And I'm going to share with you the results and a lot of tactics that I've gotten out of doing this work on myself as a wrestler, and then as a college wrestling coach, the kind of work that I've done with individuals, both in athletics and otherwise, and on myself. So like I said, I've learned this through my own experience. This is stuff that I applied, learned as a wrestler, being a college wrestling coach, Division I head wrestling coach, you know, applying this to myself in my life, in my own speaking, in the performance game that I'm in right now, that you're in also, which is called life, and also coaching high-performing men. But also, I coached a couple of college athletes. I actually never really shared that. Well, I know I never shared this here on the podcast, but I've only ever been hired as a mindset coach for college athletes twice. I don't market myself as doing that. I don't do that. It's not something I'm really all that interested in doing. But I got hired 2 separate times over the years. I've said yes in these particular scenarios. And I took, there were 2 wrestlers, different teams, completely different scenarios, a couple years apart. And both of those guys were not all Americans. And then the year after, the year that I worked with him, I got them, helped them get onto the podium. I didn't get them onto the, I was a piece of the puzzle for them to help them get out of the way. So I've done this before, and I finally have broken through for myself in wrestling when I learned this kind of stuff that I'm going to share with you today. And by the end of this episode, you're going to have at least three tactics that you're going to be able to keep in your back pocket to be able to flip the switch into performance mode and to be in the flow state for yourself in these high pressure situations and even in the low pressure situations. I'll be honest, like I'm in a relatively low pressure situation right now in speaking to you because I'm sitting in my office. I can pause, I can edit, I can re-record anything I'm about to share with you. So there's no pressure for me here on this end, but I want to do this well, right? I have to get myself into the right mindset to deliver a message to you in the way I want to deliver it to you. So some of these tactics I actually used just a few minutes ago before I hit the record button, right? And you're going to be able to use these too in those low pressure and high pressure moments in your own life. And I'm going to share with you 10 tactics. These are from the work that I've done, the work that I continue to do on myself, the work that I've done and continue to do with others and helping them reach their peak performance, be the best versions of themselves. Your mindset dictates every performance. And we're going to work on that today. All right. So 10 tactics for getting you into a flow state, 10 tactics for getting you into a flow state, overcoming your nerves, overcoming that voice and that self-doubt in the back of your mind. Quick interruption. If you like what you're hearing here and you want to learn how you can implement this into your life, just go to jimharshawjr.com/apply to see how you can get a free one-on-one coaching session with me. That's jimharshawjr.com/apply. Now back to the show. Okay, so let's jump into the 10 tactics. My goal here is that you're going to have more than three that you're going to love, but I don't want you to try to pick 5, 6, 8, 10 of these. I want you to pick three that really resonate with you. And I want you to keep these in your back pocket, and you can download the action plan, go to jimharshawjr.com/action. You can get access to this action plan and all my other action plans from over 500 episodes with incredible, you know, world-class performers who I've interviewed on this episode, on this podcast for years. And by the way, you can also have a conversation with Coach Jim AI, who is trained on just about every episode here. You can talk to Coach Jim AI, just go to coachjimai.com. And you'll get direct access to my AI where you can start to, you know, if you hear something here you like, you want to go deeper on, you can have that conversation with the AI version of me. It's pretty cool. I know my clients get a lot of benefit out of that. All right, so let's jump into the 10 tactics. Number one, slow breathing. Slow, controlled breathing. I just talked to my assistant, Pau, and she might kill me for saying this on the air. And she, you know, she has edit rights. She can edit it. Pau, if you're listening to this, and if you want to cut this out, you can. But I'd love it if we could keep this in. She is also a performer. She is an actress, and she was nervous about a play that she was in recently. And we would talk about this. I might ask her about the play every time when we meet every week during our weekly meeting. And she was talking to me about how she was nervous. And I talked to her about breath work and slowing your breathing. And she was so thankful, and it worked. It was really helpful. It would calm her nerves before she was going on stage. And it was a pretty big performance, pretty big production that she had just finished up. And this stuff really, really works. And so you have your sympathetic and your parasympathetic nervous system, right? Sympathetic is fight or flight. Parasympathetic is, you know, they say rest and digest, or, you know, this is the calm version of you. And so controlled breathing, slowing your breathing will change the physiology of your body. It stimulates your vagus nerve, and it reduces your stress response. Like, it reduces your blood pressure, your cortisol levels, just by controlling your breathing. And, you know, there's different research out there, but most research shows, or there's been research that shows, that the ideal rate of breathing is 6 breaths per minute. And that's 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out. Slowly breathing in for 5 seconds, slowly breathing out for 5 seconds. And that changes your response rate, your stress response, again, your blood pressure, your cortisol levels, all of those negative things that get in your way when you're nervous. They say the biggest fear that people have is standing in front of an audience. So I have to do this too. I stand in front of audiences fairly often. And so I'm using this, and it works. Another benefit of this is it maximizes your HRV, which is your heart rate variability. That is the amount of time between your heart rate. So when I first heard of HRV, I was like, oh, you probably want to have a low HRV. It's the opposite. You actually want to have a high heart rate variability. It basically indicates that you're more resilient. Your nervous system is more adaptable and can kind of more easily switch from like stress to calm. It's an indicator of your resilience in the moment. So slow breathing increases, maximizes your HRV, right? So there's these physiological changes that are going on. They've also done EEGs on people, and they've shown that slowing your breath increases alpha brain wave activity, which is connected to like relaxation, and it decreases the theta waves, which is more sort of higher energy, high when you're sort of more nervous and anxious. So it reduces all of that. I mean, changes your physiology, right? It sounds silly, and you know, you might think, ah, that's not, you know, go on to the next one, Jim. Like, no, this one works. All right. So slowing your breathing, 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out. Right. So breath work. Number two, visualizing the end. This is one of the ones that I use before I hit record here. I got up and I walked around my office and I visualized the end of this episode. Me being stoked that I recorded the greatest episode that I've ever recorded. And people are going to share this, and you're going to share this with a ton of people. And it's going to, you know, the message is going to reach thousands and thousands and thousands of people. That is my goal. That is what I visualized before I sat down and hit the record button, right? And for you, you might visualize making the sale, right? The end of the sales presentation, the end of the job interview, the end of the interaction that you're, you know, you might get nervous about. Visualize it. It might be a tough conversation with your wife. You know, visualize the end of that. And, you know, if it's a job interview, like visualize standing up from the chair, shaking hands with the interviewers, and there's just this praise and connection, and it just changes the energy in your body, right? If you're an athlete, for me, wrestling, it was visualize getting my hand raised, right? Certainly I would visualize the other parts of it as well, but that's what I found to be the most effective is visualizing the end. Because if you can get to that end state that you want psychologically, the rest of it tends to flow, okay? So visualizing the end. So number one was slow breathing. Number two is visualizing the end. Number three out of 10, gratitude. Gratitude for this pressure. You know, pressure is a privilege. You've probably heard that quote before. Pressure is a privilege. And you get to do this versus you got to. I get to do this sales presentation. There are people at war. There are people starving to death around the world right now. You have to make a sales presentation and you're nervous about this? Yeah, I mean, I get it, right? I'm speaking to you because I'm like looking in the mirror. Like, there's people who would give anything and everything to be in your situation. Pressure is a privilege. Penn State wrestlers, Penn State, for if you're not a wrestling person listening to this, they are far and away the most dominant wrestling team in the history of the sport. Arguably, or maybe not even arguably at this point, the most dominant college sports team currently and maybe ever, right? They're probably going to become the greatest college sports dynasty of all time. Cale Sanderson, the head coach, has won 12 of the last 16 NCAA championships. I can't even remember how many in a row. It's been years since he's not won consecutively. And he's only in his 40s. And they have currently, as I'm recording this, they have six guys out of 10 weight classes. They have six guys ranked number one in the country in their weight class. Six out of 10. It's never been done before. And it's not just about getting great wrestlers. He gets these guys prepared well. When they're interviewed coming off the mat, they talk about gratitude. I'm great, just grateful to be here. This is a great opportunity. Like gratitude for this pressure, gratitude for this opportunity. And when you approach something like that, you can reach your maximum performance. You can reach your maximum potential. While you're letting fear and anxiety take over and self-doubt, you will not perform your best. I mean, imagine this. Imagine you have two track athletes and everything is on the line and they're on the starting line. It's a 400 meter race. And one of them is fearful, self-doubt. And the other one is thinking, gosh, what a privilege this is. I get to do this. And let's say, every other metric is the same. They've trained the same history, same everything. Hypothetically, it's the same person, but two different mindsets. Which one are you putting your money on? Yeah. 100 out of 100 times, you're going to put your money on the one who is feeling and thinking and believing that this is a privilege, right? That person, that individual will perform just a little bit more closely to their full potential, right? So that's number three, gratitude for the pressure. So number one, breath work. Number two, visualizing the end. Number three, gratitude for this pressure. Number four is gratitude for everything else in your life. You have already won. Like You have friends who love you, family who loves you. Most of you are living in America, listening to this, live in America. You live in the most abundant nation in the history of the world, right? You've already won. You've already won. Can you get yourself to realize and recognize all of the amazing things that you have in your life right now? You know, if you have a bottle of water in your hand before you step on stage, or when you stand up to give that presentation in front of your colleagues, or whatever that situation might be, a bottle of clean water in your hand. There are people who don't have that. Like in my church, we raise a bunch of money every holiday season, Christmas season, around digging wells for towns and villages around the world who don't have clean water. Like you're probably listening. If you're listening to this, you can go get it. You probably have a clean glass of water beside you, or you can walk 20 feet and go get one. Gratitude. Are you really grateful for all of the other things you have in your life? So that's number four. And let's go on to number five, again, out of 10 here. Recognize that whatever you're about to go into is a very short amount of time. If you're going into to give a talk, a speech, a presentation, a sales meeting, job interview, whatever it is, it's a short time, even in your day. The amount of time invested in that is not even going to be most of the time, it's not even going to be a significant part of your day. If you're jumping out of an airplane, right? That's high stress situation. Jumping out of an airplane, from the time you jump out of the airplane, open your chute, hit the ground, it's just a few minutes. You're going to take a shower for longer than you're falling through the air, right? So it's going to be over pretty quickly. So keeping this in perspective, like, you're not going to be in this high stress situation for more than a short amount of time, even in one day. That's just a perspective tactic there, number five. Number six, we often think about what if this goes wrong? What if, and we go to the negatives. But here's the other thing. Here's the better perspective. What if this goes really great? Have you thought of that? Oftentimes we haven't, right? Oftentimes we go to the negative. But what if? This actually goes really well, because that's an option too. This might be really fun. This might be really exciting. You might learn a ton from this. What if, right? Instead of the what if negative, what if positive? What if the positive things happen, right? That was another shift of perspective, right? So that was number six. We're on to number seven here. Let's review them real quickly. Again, number one, breath work. Number two, visualize the end. Number three, gratitude for the pressure. Number four, gratitude for everything else in your life. Number five, this is just a short time even in your day. Number six, what if this actually goes really great? Number seven, you've got to love to compete more than you love to win. I saw this in an Instagram reel from a guy named Johnny DeJulius, NCAA wrestler for Ohio State. And he was talking to a bunch of youth wrestlers. And he said, you've got to love to compete more than you love to win. Think about that. Enjoying the competition, the chance, the opportunity to go to battle in that wrestling match, or the opportunity to interview for that job, the opportunity to have that difficult conversation with your colleague or your boss or your spouse. Love that. Love the opportunity to compete more than you want to actually win, having that outcome that you want. That's a shift in mindset. That's a shift to my friend, Dr. Nate Zinser, who I've had on the podcast, had him on back on episode number 336. In his book, The Confident Mind, he talks about, let's see how well I can do. That's it. Let's just see how well I can do, right? This isn't do or die. This isn't the last opportunity I'm ever going to get. Like, let's just go see how well I can do. Even if it is the one shot that you're going to get, you still have to adopt the mindset of, let's see how well I can do. Because as Jaden Cox, world champion wrestler, said on my podcast once, he said, failure actually is an option. And when you realize that failure is an option, it takes the fear of failure away. Because yeah, sure, that's a thing that could happen potentially here. But if you love to compete more than you love to win, you will show up as your best self. You'll get your ego out of the way. All right, so that's number seven. Let's go to number eight out of 10 here. Number eight, surrender the outcome. Surrender, give up on the outcome. Actually, I was reading recently in Dr. Zinser's book, who I just referenced, The Confident Mind. Helen Maroulis was the first ever American woman to win an Olympic gold medal in wrestling. I know I'm talking a lot about wrestling in this episode, but there's a lot of wrestlers in my interview guests over the years, but especially in my early days. But I interviewed Helen back in episode 143, and great episode, by the way. I highly, highly recommend that one, just around mindset, because she talks about just some crazy self-doubt that she had a month leading up into the Olympics and how she overcame that and won the Olympic gold medal, beat the most decorated wrestler of all time from Japan. She had to wrestle her in the gold medal match, and she beat her. It was amazing. But in Dr. Zinsser's book, he actually references an interview with Helen from, I think it was like Vogue magazine or something. And Helen said, "I had to surrender the outcome. I have to surrender the outcome." Like, listen, Stephen Covey, the author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, told us we have to begin with the end in mind. We know that, right? We have to have that end in mind, that goal outcome. And then you let go. You let go of the outcome and you focus on the process. And I had to learn this. Like, I learned this in wrestling for myself when I got to my 17th and final year of competition, started wrestling when I was 6 years old. Now I'm a senior in college and I'm trying to reach a meaningful goal of becoming an All-American, going on the NCAA championships. I'm standing on the edge of the mat about to step into the one match that will determine if I'm going to be an All-American or not. And I've got 7 minutes, 17 years boiled down to 7 minutes. Talk about pressure. 15,000 people in the arena, 17 years of work comes down to the next 7 minutes. I had to surrender the outcome. It was hard. Trust me, it was hard. Mental gymnastics that I had to do to get there, to let go of the outcome and truly just go focus on the process. Make first contact. Attack. If we go out of bounds, be the first one back to the middle and get your foot on the line before the opponent does, just to kind of work on his mind, right? To show him I'm hungrier than he is. Like, all of those things, that whole process, like if I get scored on, controlling my self-talk, like that process is what I could control. I couldn't control the outcome. If the referee made a bad call or he hits me with a move I wasn't prepared for, whatever it is, like, I just surrender the outcome in that moment. I desperately wanted the outcome. I desperately wanted to win. But I had to put that aside, override that default thinking, and surrender the outcome. And that's what you have to do as well. That will allow you to show up as the best version of yourself. That's number 8, surrender the outcome. Number 9, again, number 9 of 10, this is a tactic that really worked for me. Leading into that, and this still works for me, leading into that moment, whatever that is, right? For me, when I was wrestling, it was stepping on the mat. Now it's stepping on stage or jumping on a sales call with somebody. Whatever that situation is, I actually had a big one of these a couple of days ago, CEO of a big company who everybody listening to this would recognize the name of that company and probably the name of the CEO, conversation with him. I just had to focus on something else. I had number 8, surrender the outcome, and number 9, focus on something else. Not overthinking what I was about to go do. Not overthinking it. I was prepared. Now just show up and do the thing. And for me, in wrestling especially, and even in speaking, and maybe for you, it's going into those big moments for you, whatever those are, you're going to probably tend to overthink, right? You can get your mind off it. If you've done the prep, which you have, and even if you haven't, overthinking in the moment is not going to help you now, right? So for me, when I was wrestling, I would literally go out in the hallway and I would read a magazine and tell one of my teammates, "Hey, come and get me when it's about 5 minutes before I got to go on the mat." And they would come out and they would get me, and I'd already completed my warm up, and I would do another sort of short warm up before I stepped on the mat. But I had to get my mind off of it. I had to get out of the pressure cooker environment. Couldn't watch my teammates prior, at least one teammate prior to me. I couldn't get wrapped up in his match because he was my training partner. I had to go out and just let go, focus on something else, because I knew I could flip the switch. Underthinking wasn't a problem. Overthinking was, right? So number 9 is about focus on something else. Get your mind off of it. And lastly, this is for those of you who are men of faith. God has bigger plans for us. There's something even greater after our time in this temporary broken world that we live in. There's something bigger, far bigger than this whatever you're about to step into, this temporary thing that's going to be a short part of your day. In the grand scheme of things, let's be honest, it's not really all that important. There's something even greater out there, right? So those are the 10 things. And I'm going to give you 2 other episodes to go back and listen to at the end here. But so let me very quickly review these 10. I want you to pick 3 that resonate with you. Number one, breath work. Number two, visualize the end. Number three, gratitude for this pressure. Number four, gratitude for everything else in your life. Number five, this is a short time even in today. Number six, what if this goes really great? Number seven, love to compete more than you love to win. Number eight, surrender the outcome. Number nine, focus on something else. Number 10, if you're a man of faith, God has bigger plans than this temporary broken world that we live in. All right, two other related episodes I want to give you. I already referenced the one, Nate Zinsser, episode 336. He was the mindset coach for Super Bowl MVP, two-time Super Bowl MVP, Eli Manning, when he beat Tom Brady. Like, guess who was in his corner? Guess who was in his mind? Dr. Zinsser. You get access to him. Actually, he's come to my retreat and spoken twice to my clients. We got a course from Doc Zinsser in my community. This is your unfair advantage. Listen to that one. And then Jim Murphy, episode 518. And he was the mindset coach for the number one golfer in the world. One of his clients was the number one golfer in the world. He's coached a bunch of top 10 and professional athletes and all kinds of sports, et cetera. But you get access directly. You get to listen to these guys and hear the questions that I'm asking them. And if you're listening right now, everything that I just said resonated with you. These other episodes are going to really resonate because I'm asking the same questions that you're resonating with that I'm giving you this information about right now. So go check out those episodes, 336, 518. Spread the word. Let my vision come true. My visualization before this episode was you're going to love this so much. You're going to share it with a friend. Tell them to go check out this episode, episode number 523 of the Success for the Athletic Minded Man podcast. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for your ratings and reviews. Any rating, whether you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you're listening, your ratings and reviews mean so much to me. Thank you. I look at those. I appreciate you. Take action on this. Good luck.